The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice. Sweaty and pissed,
Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More, and I'm Leanne Morgan. I'm a comedian, and this is my little
Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner.
Very thin today and pretty. She's very frail because she doesn't eat white flour and sugar. And I'm sitting up here very plump because I do. And I was going to tell her that I went to a movie last night to see, and I ate popcorn. I think I got a corn thing.
Uh-oh.
And I say that because you're my provider. You're my health provider. And I'm not going to make you look at my skin today, some crusty places. And I'm not going to make you do a pap smear on me in this studio.
Sweet.
Because it's kind of like being a comedian when I get places, even like a funeral home. I've had people come up to me in front of a casket and say, tell me something funny. And I thought I would never get a health care provider at a picnic and say, can you give me a pap smear? So, but no, I went to a, and it made me think of me and you because I went to this movie called Book Club. And it sucked.
Yeah.
And it was, you did hear it. And it was Jane Fonda and Candace Bergen, who was a beauty when she was younger. Beautiful now. Yeah. And little Marianne Steenburgen. Is that her name?
Steenburgen?
Yeah, Steenburgen. Yeah. And she looked good.
Is she Ted Danson's wife? No?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
I know some pop culture.
You do. And I know way too much, except that I'm in brain fog and I can't remember. But okay, and then... oh, who was the little Diane Keaton? Little Diane Keaton's too thin. Uh-oh. Let me tell you, you know, I think I've told you this. My little daddy said to me, you want to ruin a woman's looks, put her on a diet. Diane Keaton is emaciated. And, but darling, but it looked worrisome. It really did. It really did. But anyway, I could have written that movie in a drunken stupor.
Yeah.
I don't know how it got out in the movie theaters, probably because of the big stars, but it was terrible. But, I mean, a couple of laughs in there, but it was about women in a book club, and Jane Fonda's character is very racy, and they're all very successful women, but Jane Fonda is single, is never married, and she has sex with random people, and is had plastic surgery and feels good about her body and all that.
She looks pretty good.
She does. She and she looked good in it. I do think she looks angry and is not at peace in her real life. maybe I'm wrong.
Does that make you feel better about the whole deal?
No, I just think Ted Turner probably just about killed her. Because he's crazy.
Probably did.
Yeah. And so I think, and her little daddy, you know, I don't know if you've ever read any of those stories about Golden Pond. That was all, you know, he was evidently a butthole.
Yeah.
So I think she's got a lot of little demons.
Yes.
But she looked good and her thyroid's functioning and her hair looked good. Okay. So, so they did that Shades of Grey book.
Yeah.
And it was silly. And it was like they were, you know, scared of it and all that mess. And so, and I tried to read it. I did go and get it at Books A Million. And this little bitty, darling, little frail fella came up to me and said, that is not a good book. If you want something like that, meaning erotica,
yes,
that is well written, I've got something that I could give you instead of that. And I freaked out and felt like Jesus was watching me. And I just said, I'll just take that one. So anyway, the really bad one. And I read about, I don't know, 50, 75 pages. And then I got to thinking, Jesus really is watching me. And I just felt freaked out and I quit reading it. Now that I'm starting almost in menopause, and I might as well be dead. I'm dead inside. I should start reading it again.
Yeah, probably.
Because I could probably get a new purse or something out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Don Johnson, I was telling you, Don mm-hmm. Johnson is absolutely beautiful in it.
Can't believe that.
And I can't believe it either. And I was never a Miami Vice Mm-mm. person. I've never had anything for Don Johnson. Mm-mm. He has aged beautifully.
Wow.
And he was a doll in it. A doll in it. And then Andy Garcia was in it oh. and plays a love interest of Diane Keaton. And he was a doll in it. Not as hot as Don Johnson. And I hate to even use the word hot. I hate that word when people go, he's hot. But Don Johnson was hot.
Yeah.
And everybody in my group, there were four women. All of us have no testosterone, no progesterone. I mean, everybody's like in brain fog, can't remember what time we're supposed to go. Everybody drank Diet Coke and said, should I be drinking this Diet Coke? No, but I'm going to do it. Let's do it. We finally got a night out. And we all ate popcorn. Yeah. And then I hadn't felt right all morning.
Did you use butter on the popcorn?
No.
Oh, see, that's good.
No, but I do think I've got a corn thing. Okay. And I know that Diet Coke is all a lie. Yeah. And it makes my body crave sugar, yeah. and it's
aspartame
making me fat as mud.
Yeah, aspartame
is
no good.
Which causes you gas.
Yes.
Aspartame. I saw that on something.
And I think it increases appetite. I know. That's why you have to have a Snickers with a Diet Coke.
Oh, Karen Nickel.
Yeah.
You're right.
They sort of offset one another.
In the 80s, it was a cigarette. Now, you mean Snickers with a Diet? That makes sense.
Yeah. That aspartame is
calling it's killing
Snickers.
People. Well, that's what's wrong with me, because I've been on... Isn't that terrible? I don't drink a lot of aspartame. It's just, I mean, I don't put it in stuff, but I have...
It's already...
And, you know, there is a stevia drink.
Yeah.
But it's not good. But, I mean, I've tried to drink those.
What about the vitamin water zeros?
Yeah.
Because they have stevia and xylitol, which are both natural sweeteners.
Yeah, but what about all the other chemicals that things I can't pronounce that are in that drink?
Yeah, well, that's no good. You're right. But, well.
You know, I'm scared of chemicals, but then I drink aspartame. I'm a walking contradiction. I know, because I tell you all the time, we're not supposed to be doing this or rubbing this lotion in us, and then I'm drinking Diet Coke by the gallons.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing like driving around in a hot car doing errands and getting a big fountain drink. And then when I had little children, you put that with a goldfish. Oh, my gosh, and that was golden.
Now, that sustained you for days.
It did.
Yeah,
it was
that's
really good. Okay, so anyway, all these women in this show, they were talking about how none of them had a sex drive. Candace Bergen had really given up, and she didn't want to date or anything. They all, you know, were talking about their love lives and all that, but they talk about vaginal dryness.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about how their bodies, they didn't feel like anybody would want to see them naked,
mm-hmm.
which I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid something happened to my husband and I had to get a man. I mean, I would have to go through $1,000 worth of grooming, plus my toenails. I need to talk to you about Lamisil. I've got a toenail that doesn't look right. I could not. I don't know what I would do if I had to show a man this. I have a friend who said, you know, if I had to go out on a date and do something vulgar, she goes, I could show a man my left breast, but I couldn't show him my right one. She said her right one is like down to her waist.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but the left one's still up.
Yeah, maybe it's about easing into it, like show him the best parts first.
Which would be my arms. I'd have to wear a sleeveless top. I've got my daddy's arms.
You do have good arms.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Thank you. And my little tiny wrist,
yes,
to make him think I'm petite. But then all this boogity-boo down here around my fanny. But okay, so anyway, they all talked about all the things that you and I talk about.
Yeah.
And then the girls that I were with are all around our age, and we all got to talking in the parking lot. And of course, I bragged on you in Sweaty and Pissed mm-hmm. podcast, and they were like, "How can we get into her?" And I go, "Well, you can't." And
just tune in to Sweaty and Pissed.
Yeah, she's like going to an Adele concert. It ain't gonna happen. So I said, "Turn into Sweaty and Pissed and listen to what we're talking about." But they were all talking about brain fog.
Yep.
One woman said, "What do you mean you have a testosterone cream that you rub on?" And she goes, "On your inner thigh." And she goes, "Why do women don't need testosterone?" And I go, "Yes, they do." And I can't tell you why.
Where did she hear that?
I don't know. And she's got the means to know.
Yeah. It's a vast conspiracy, I think.
Nobody. She didn't know anything. And she said, I don't know if I'm in perimenopause or menopause. And so I was trying to diagnose her.
Yeah, how'd that go? How did that
they
go?
They thought I was so smart because I quoted things you said about brain fog mm-hmm. and ADD symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't sleep. All of them are sweating in the night. They wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning. They eventually fall back to sleep. All the symptoms that we've talked yeah. about in our podcast and in our visits.
Yes.
So we're going to continue today to talk about perimenopause symptoms, and we're going to talk about brain fog.
Brain fog.
Which I cannot, I don't know how I get around in this world
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I so many women, I mean, they come in really concerned, and I appreciate their concern, but they come in thinking, and they say,
dementia.
I think I have early onset Alzheimer's, and I ask them what their symptoms are, and a lot of it's word recall. You know, I
yes.
had a patient yesterday who said, oh, you know, I can't think of words. It's like, I can say, can you hand me that bottle of red stuff that you put on French fries? And
yes.
and her husband's saying, you mean ketchup? And
yes.
you can describe it, you know, but.
Yeah, I didn't know what a sink was anymore. And I think because we're here in Knoxville, Tennessee, yeah. and our sweet Padhead Summit
yes.
died of early onset yes. dementia. Everybody I talked to said, I've got what Padhead Summit's got. I thought I did.
Yeah, because your brain cells need hormones too. So when we don't especially have estrogen, we end up with brain cells that aren't functioning as well. I know. So I think, you know, they actually have done studies about this and I was happy to learn that they've really studied estrogen receptors in women and how it impacts their brain function. And I just want to say that the National Center of Biotechnology Information Research into the actions of estrogen in the brain alone has produced an average of almost 2 publications a day about this for the last couple of years. These documents the profound effects and multiple mechanisms of action of estrogen on memory, mood, mental state, and neurodevelopmental and neurodegenerative processes. And neurodegenerative processes, we're talking MS, Parkinson's, dementia. And it's providing mounting support for the views that estrogen is neurotrophic, neuroprotective, and psychoprotective. So it protects the nerves, our nervous system, protects how our brain functions, and we're finally just figuring that out. So it's important. That's why people feel like they're losing their mind or getting ADD or getting dementia or all three.
It's because their estrogen has
dropped. Yeah.
Okay. And somebody like me that had estrogen out the roof, mm-hmm. then it dropped to nothing, then it went back out of the roof. So
yeah, so you sort of have a double whammy because when it drops, you have a problem with memory. And when it's high with low progesterone, making you estrogen dominant, that creates that brain fog. So in perimenopause, it's often more just sort of muddled thinking, just don't feel like you are clear and sharp. And then when the estrogen drops, it feels like dementia. That's where you can't think of words, you can't recall names, you can't remember why you came into a room, you know.
Yes.
That's it's terrible
because I've tried to clean out a closet and I end up in the driveway and I think, what am I doing out here? Okay, so, and I've been on stage and said many a time, what was I talking about? And then people laugh,
yeah,
which thank goodness,
yeah,
and they know my age
and
they know where
do
I
they
am.
Yell out,
yeah, they yell out T-ball or
thank goodness
Beagle Hounds or whatever. And so thank goodness that yeah. somebody's listening because I really have done that. I do it almost every time I'm on stage now. Okay, so what about has this been like this throughout history or are we worse now? because of our food supply and all the things we talk about, all the things that are killing us and poisoning us over the counter and in the world and in our food and all that.
I think it's worse now for that reason. I think it's worse now because our lives are so crammed full of stuff. The more things we're trying to juggle at once, the harder it is for us to remember things. And so, you know, and we are juggling a phone that's beeping at you constantly and having a conversation with somebody while your phone's beeping at you constantly. I mean, there are just so many stimuli coming your way in this society. Also, you know, honestly, talking about hundreds of years ago or even 100 years ago, most women went into menopause and then died. Yeah. So we're living, you know, on average 30, 35 years beyond menopause and expected not to have our hormones for 35 years.
So, okay. So when you see people like these women that I was with last night,
yeah,
some go, I haven't done anything. I'm not going to do anything. I don't need that. I'm not going to do that because they're worried about cancer. They've heard rumors or whatever that, oh, well, that's going to cause something horrible or whatever. So you've always got one in the crowd that's like, I don't need that crap. But then everybody else is going, oh, my Lord, what can I do? Something's wrong with me. So you think now that providers are understanding that that's such a important thing to replace hormones and get hormones in balance, that will be better now that we're all living so much longer?
Well, hopefully. I mean, there's still a lot of providers who think if you're not having hot flashes or night sweats, you don't need hormones because they're not thinking about all the other things that hormones help you with, like your brain and your bone density and your cholesterol and your blood pressure. And so there's still a lot of controversy. I mean, that study that was done, the Women's Health Initiative, done, it's probably 15 years now, put definitely a bad spin on hormones. And we've been sort of digging ourselves out of that hole since that study came out.
Oh,
so,
my.
Yeah, but hopefully the tide will turn. It goes in cycles where people are comfortable with hormones and then they're not. And, you know, it's well covered by insurance and then it's not, you know, so. It's, you know, I've been in it long enough. I've seen quite a few cycles of that. So,
okay. So when you, and I say that more people are taking care of it, but they're really not. Cause you here in Knoxville, you're one of the few people who even does this stuff. Everybody else is, you know, people, I've had physicians say to me, do whatever Karen Nichols says because she knows what she's talking about. I really have. And I'm not blowing smoke up your pretty maxi dress. That you're so thin in today. Okay, so, but like these women saying, how can we get into her? And I'm like, well, you can't get into her, but maybe we can find somebody else you can go to. But there's not many people who do all this in our area.
Yeah, there are not very many people who are doing compounded bioidentical hormone replacement therapy management. I mean, a lot of other providers, you know, will prescribe hormones that are manufactured, like Premarin and Primpro and, you know, Activella, those kinds of things. But in terms of using a compounded product that's bioidentical, there are not a lot of people in this area doing that. And especially not very many in insurance-based practices. Most of them are in cash pay practices.
Yeah.
You know, wellness-type practices.
Yeah. So what, all right, for little women going around and can't think of their name and can't figure out what a sink is, what do you tell them to do? I mean, is there anything you can do that's not, if somebody can't get to a provider with compound, pharmacy and all that, is there things we can do?
Yeah, so there are quite a few things. If they are willing to do some kind of hormone therapy, you know, there is over-the-counter progesterone creams, and progesterone can really help us with some of our menopausal symptoms. There are really nice brain supplements like N-acetylcysteine, often seen as NAC, 600 milligrams once a day, that helps, is very brain protective, helps with brain function. Phosphatidylserine is a great brain amino acid that can be taken, often labeled PS because nobody wants to spell or say phosphatidylserine.
And I couldn't. And it just rolled off your tongue.
Yeah, well, so yeah, so that, you know, taking B vitamins, especially a metabolized form of folic acid called L-methylfolate.
That does everybody need to take that? Let's talk about methylfolate for just a minute, because I'm on that.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people carry the genetic variant MTHFR, which inhibits. When you carry that genetic variant, it inhibits the methylation of folic acid or folate to L-methylfolate, which is the usable form. So those people in particular can really benefit from L-methylfolate replacement. But even if you don't carry that genetic variant, It's a helpful supplement to help with just
really.
Just
I didn't know that, because you know I have the MTHFR
mm-hmm.
and you tested me for that,
mm-hmm.
and I did not realize that. So basically, I was not absorbing vitamins properly because I didn't have this, because I have this genetic thing,
yeah,
where I can't absorb folic acid. Right.
Right. Well, and in order to use the RB vitamins, we have to put a little methyl arm on it. Just stick a little methyl arm. It's called methylation. So if you're not able to do that, then your body's not able to use it. So we replace the folic acid that already has been methylated. So it's L-methylfolate.
And you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get it. Yeah, over the counter. There is prescription L-methylfolate as well.
Okay, and women who don't know that if they have not been tested for this, and they, does that cause anything? If you throughout your life, what can it do if you don't have that?
If you carry an MTHFR genetic variant, actually there are two. There's 1298 and 677, and you can carry one or two copies of either or both, your homocysteine levels can go up. And homocysteine, when it's high, increases our clot risk.
Okay.
So, and what we do to lower homocysteine in those people is to give them L-methylfolate.
So if you're on a plane to Europe,
take an aspirin.
And get up and walk around exactly. And wear hose.
Yes.
I mean, those socks.
Compression stockings, yeah.
Yes, and I did. You told me to do that when I went to Greece.
Yeah.
And I wore those big old compression socks.
Yeah, you're so good.
Thank you.
So compliant.
Well, not always. And not that I don't want to be. I'm in brain fog and I forget. You give me something to take and I'm like, what in the world was that for? I don't have to take that. I know you want to beat me today. Because I know that we've talked about that before, that, you know, people are in such a hole. And don't feel good that they can't even take all the stuff that they need to take.
Make feel better, yeah.
Oh, I don't know how that doesn't drive you nuts. People like me that are like, what was I taking, the NAS or
NAC?
The NAC.
Yeah.
And the PS.
Yeah, I know. Well, repetition always helps.
Well, I've got it sitting down there with all my coconut oils and all my little things that I'm, you know, taking from my skin.
Well, you know, speaking of coconut oil, maybe our next episode, we can talk a little bit more about vaginal dryness.
Vaginal dryness.
That those women were talking about in the
Diane
movie.
Yes, Diane Keaton has.
Yeah.
That little dried up thing.
God bless her.
Oh, she looked like a dried up little tiny raisin with a big men's shirt on. You know, she's still doing that.
Oh, still.
V.S.
From 1982.
Yeah. Long very long. Annie Hall.
Mm.
Darling. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her. But everybody in my group was like, why she got that big shirt on? She looks like a man. I mean, you know, but
yeah, that's her look.
Yeah. I wonder if she ever regrets dating Woody Allen.
I can't imagine that you wouldn't.
Nasty little thing. Nasty little thing. But anyway, okay, is that time up already?
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap this one up. Oh my gosh, I've had a ball.
Me too.
Talking about brain fog.
I know. I'm
surprised we got through it. And I hope I can remember we did this episode.
I know. Well, we should have videotaped it.
Oh. We're going to do that.
Okay.
All right, so people can see us.
Yeah.
See how plump I am and how thin you are.
You're lovely and you know it.
Oh, you angel. I am
you
pretty.
You're very pretty.
Thank you. Okay. Well, all right. I've had a ball.
Okay.
We'll see you next time. All right. Sweaty and pretty.